Money is not evil. The heart of man is evil. Money is a medium. It is a medium of exchange. It is the heart of man that makes money evil. Listen to me. Are you guys with me? Money in your hand is a tool, but money in your heart is poison. So money in your hand is a tool. Money in your heart is poison. Now, I don't qualify standing in front of you because I've got hundreds of millions. I qualify because, first of all, I'm preaching to you the Word of God. Secondly, because we have seen the hand of the Lord delivering us from disastrous situations. We have been there where we have given everything away. And some people might say, but it was not God, it was emotional. You know what? When you're so in love with God, when you're in love with your wife, in love with some, you just want to give everything to them. And it was kind of like to show that, listen, and that's what I did. I gave my cars away. I gave everything, all our furniture, everything in our accounts. We just gave and gave and gave and gave into the anointing. And people can say, but it was emotional. Well, you know, it paid off right now. Number two, when you're in love with God, money doesn't have you. You have it. A lot of people have a lot of money, but that money has them. And they battle to even hear something being spoken about it. Just in the church, outside it's fine. It's a religious spirit. Are you guys with me? So I said to this pastor, I said, listen, Jesus spoke more on finances than prayer and faith put together. Why was he concerned about finances? Because it's the substance of a person. It's the thing that puts the bread and milk upon their table. It's what we leave to our generations. That the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance for his seed, his children's children. Are you guys with me? The blessing of the Lord. Say with me, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, not generous. They say to me, no, I must replace my wording from prosperity to generous. I said, I refuse. The Bible says prosperity. The Bible says Isaac sowed in that land. And in the same year, he reaped 100-fold. And he began to prosper. And he continued prospering until he was very prosperous. It doesn't say he began to be generous and continued to be generous. It is changing and replacing words not to offend people. Are you guys with me? They say we're going to empty our churches if we do it. Well, we've just grown our churches by preaching it. But listen, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. Say it again. Say, adds no sorrow. That means if there's a sorrow in your life, the blessing might be missing. But once you can be rich without the blessing, or you can be poor with the blessing or without, but once the blessing is there, eventually money will come. When the blessing is, listen, I was in a house in the United States. I had to do deliverance on somebody, and it was in Atlanta, very big houses in a very wealthy area of Atlanta. You're speaking about maybe, I don't know, $5 million for a house, if not more, maybe $5 to $8 million for a house. And it's a normal family. That's just normal family type houses there. And I went in, and I remember the house had like 4 stories. Okay, it might have been more, 10 million, I'm not sure, 4 stories. And then it had a basement, obviously. And it was huge. It was really big. And everything was top class. And I remember sitting with the mother and the daughter, the one daughter, in the living room. And they have a lot of money. And they told me how much money they have and how they're going to bless me there if I can just pray for them and get delivered. And, you know, those days you make somersaults for like $1,000 check, you know. But anyway, no, joking. If you come from South Africa, you didn't have any money. You're in ministry and you go to U.S. and, you know, those things happen. But anyway, we didn't know that was going to happen. I was just there out of concern. So when you go to the States, people take you everywhere to pray for this one because they don't have the fire of God there at that time. I'm not saying now. I know there's a lot of people in the United States watching, and I know we have over 1,000 people right now online. And welcome to our online church. You can Let us know also where you're watching from, how many is with you, and what area you're watching from, what country, what land. But we have over 1,000 people watching right now. Our online church has really just broadened and opened up. And this is with our campuses full as well. But I was sitting with them, Ian, in this house, and I'm speaking to the mother and I'm speaking to the daughter. And they begin to tell me their story, and they said the other daughter is lesbian. This daughter is okay. But the son tried to kill the two daughters with an axe. So they take me up to the rooms, and there's axe holes in all the walls and in the doors everywhere. And they say how the daughters had to run away, hide away, climb out the windows, because the son just went possessed and tried to just kill them with an axe. Didn't get to, and the son wasn't there. They had to go put him into a place. And you're sitting there, and they said that, you know, their husband brings in all the money, but he's never at home. The kids hate him and this and that. And I'm thinking, you know, you can have all the money in the world, but if it doesn't have the blessing of God on, it will be hell on earth. It will destroy you. So do we say that money is the ultimate goal? Absolutely not. But it is a means to an end. It is a means to a goal, to a goal. And without it, you can never be a blessing in the kingdom of God. I'm going to be honest with you. Without it, you cannot be a blessing in the kingdom of God. I'm not speaking about people having to be super rich. I'm trying to change our mindsets. And especially this year, I'm trying to change to say, become debt-free. So that for what is coming, especially going into 2023, this is the Shemitah year in the Hebraic calendar, which is the year of rest, where the land has to rest. It was a principle that the Lord put in for the Jewish year, seventh year, that he said that, listen, even as God has worked and on the seventh day he rested, the land would be worked and on the seventh year the land has to rest for it in order to bring forth harvest. And rest in the same way with us. So I was telling everybody, even though this year work hard to get out of debt, but you have to do it in a dimension of rest, a realm of rest, a realm of contentment, peace. It is only found in the glory of God. When you know God, you have peace. Are you guys with me? When you know God, you have peace. Meaning that when, you know, this can happen, this financial calamity can hit you, this can strike you, but you just know that you know the promise that God has given you. It can put your head, I was there when I would put my head on a pillow and we just had a mattress in the, or I just had a mattress in the room on the floor. Or my wife and I just had a bed and we had no furniture, didn't have any money, we didn't know what life policies was. We had children, we gave our car away while we had kids, we had no car, we were driven around by our staff members while we planted the church. But every day my head hit the pillow, every night, I had gratefulness and peace. There was not one bit of anxiety in my heart. Even though we didn't have money, we had nothing though. Please, people think, you know, people think these guys are just doing ministry for money. We've been doing ministry even 10 years before that. We went to places and preached where you wouldn't even want to walk in. Are you guys with me? So that when you get to a place of money, it now becomes a tool. It doesn't own your heart. You fell in love with God way before money came. And the problem is when riches and gain is our goal, Paul says it destroys our life. I'll get into the scripture at the end. So when that is the goal, the end is destruction. When the kingdom of God is the goal, when Jesus Christ is the relationship you want, when you seek the kingdom of God first, say with me, all things shall be added unto you. When you seek the kingdom and his righteousness, meaning where is the kingdom of God? Jesus said, the kingdom is neither here nor there. It's neither coming nor going, but it is in you. Are you guys with me? Say with me, inside of me. Where's the righteousness of God? Where's the righteousness of God? Say, inside of me. I understand we have people that don't have the word knowledge the way, because Krugersdorp is very new. The Bible says these words, that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say with me, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So seek the kingdom. Where's the kingdom? In me. Where's the righteousness of God? In me. So seek the kingdom, seek the righteousness. But Jesus said, if you look and you wait for it to come that way, it's not going to come. If you wait for it to come from that side, it's not going to come. It is in you. So the seeking part is over. Once you understand your position in the kingdom of God, you get to the promise. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That means you need to step into a place to understand, but wait, this is my inheritance with God. That all these things, say with me, all these things shall be added unto me. It is a mindset and an attitude change. Once you know your inheritance in God, are you guys with me? Once you know your inheritance in Him, go with me to Deuteronomy 6 verse 10. Listen to this. Go to Deuteronomy 6 verse 10. And I'm going to give you a few laws. I know we said four laws or something. I'm going to give you seven this morning. And, but I made a, the Lord spoke to us about the whole 2022 and what is going to happen. And Krugersdorp should have been delivered in 2020, but 2020, the church was closed. And I said that this year, we need to break the spirit over Krugersdorp. It comes with a lot of attacks, trust me. Okay, it comes with a lot of attacks. Not a one church comes up in these areas. Not a one. If they do come up, they get taken out. And there needs to be a revival. That's why we're starting off the conference on this side. On the 23rd. On the 23rd of January. Which is not next week's Sunday. It's actually the Sunday after that. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. But you have to be here now. Because we used to start at a Centurion. And then people get on fire. And then they're in Krugersdorp. And they can't. But if we start here, we need to pack it out. It's the first time we're starting it at Krugersdorp. And Deuteronomy 6 verse 10. Listen to this. This is what it's. Let me explain to you what is taking place in 2022 and 2023. Even though I said it is going to be a dangerous year, it's going to be a very difficult year. And we said exactly why and what is going to happen. But in the interim, I said it's going to be a painful year, but it is a birthing pain that the Lord is doing. Where, and we go specifics of Australia and specifics of South Africa and the New Year's Eve word. But what is happening going from 2022 into 2023, which is officially, according to the Hebraic calendar, it is on the 7th of September, which we go then into the year called 5783. But this year is the year of Shemitah. It's the year of rest, which means that it's the land is resting until 2023 comes, which is happening September, 7 September, so that the land can begin to yield and bring forth crop again and bring forth fruit again. But there is a wealth transfer which is happening not only in the spirit. Listen to this. There is a, they call it, even in the world right now, they use the world, in the secular world, they use the word wealth transfer, where you have money going from the boomers to the millennials. It is one of the greatest shifts that is happening right now. But in the spirit, there is a supernatural wealth transfer. Listen to me. What is a supernatural wealth transfer? Go with me to Deuteronomy 6 verse 10. Listen to this. So it shall be. Say with me, it shall be. When the Lord your God brings you into the land. Now I need you, if there's any, I'll give you some laws today, but if there's any scripture, the laws of finances we'll give you today, but if there's any scriptures I want you to remember is the next five, okay? So it shall be, the Lord your God brings you into the land. And when I began to read about the promises of God, and we're going to do what, so we're doing a few Sundays on the anointing of finances. That one of them, there's a financial anointing when it comes of the promise that God has for the church. about land for churches, for his people, the most effective way to have spiritual warfare is to buy a land or property instead of renting. The moment you rent, you have a landlord. And people think about, I must go on my property. I own this property, but I must have spiritual warfare. No, it's your domain. There's no devil on it. The Bible says, take dominion. Occupy till I come, Jesus said. Till I come, do business and occupy. But take territories, take over. And there's, and when I began to read the promises of God, you'll see, and we're going to do a session on it, how many, at every promise, there's land included into it. Land. Now listen to this. Your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it's a land that you have not worked for, that your fathers have worked for, that your fathers made a covenant with. To give you, say with me, to give you large and beautiful cities. I know some of you are not getting it. He says, I'm going to take you into a land that you haven't worked for. I'm going to give you, not you're going to purchase. I'm going to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Say with me, which I did not build. So you're going to get something you didn't work for. And I'm not saying we must not work. We're going to get there. Next verse. I'm giving you the promise. A house. Say with me, houses. Full of good things. I'm going to get crucified for this. Does it say full of cheap things? Okay. Does it say full of good things? Which you did not fill. I'm bringing the supernatural for you into your finances. And you will see how God is going to bless some. But it is a hint and an encouragement for people to change their mind. So when we speak about supernatural blessings and wealth transfer, it is not to sit on our backside and just say, the Lord is going to do it to me. You know, I'm trusting in the Lord. You're trusting in no one. He gave you two hands, 2 feet, and the thing between your ears to work and think creatively. So I've met so many people, listen, they sit for 20 years not doing anything. No, the Lord is, my faith is in the Lord. What unbeliever wants your faith? And the church doesn't want to preach about finances. And they call us a fraud. And they said that I'm going to run away. And I'm speaking about somebody who's a pastor of almost 20,000 people. Sending voice notes to my people that I'm up with a scam with millions and I'm going to flee the country. And they informed the newspapers. They must go. They must. they wanted to put a net worth, and I said, just get my net worth right, please. No, I'm joking. But listen. No, with all seriousness, we rob the church. We rob the people. You don't give somebody a fish. You teach them how to fish. So when we preach on fixing my finances, it is not for you to sow a seed and just burn. The church wants money. We've been going for long. Your money will be appreciated. But listen, what we will appreciate more is for you to get spiritually healthy, wealthy, your finances to get healthy. Then you can be a greater blessing to the church in the future. If I've been doing this thing for money, I would have quit a long time ago. A long time ago. I was speaking to somebody that's in the world. They have a great business, making millions. And yet they have no, you know, you're talking and you're kind of like trying to compare yourself now. And they make maybe the same as the church. But let's say they have 2 or 3 staff. The church has over 20 staff and more paid. And, you know, so what's the difference between me and that person? That person thinks maybe they're very big and much better than me, yet I'm running a much more business that involves more families. They take all the profit for themselves, buying all the big houses and this and that and all this. Yet we are employing how many people? We are feeding how many people spiritually and physically many times? So who runs the biggest business here? And yet, I don't have a right to speak business acumen into this, but come on. the craziness in the church. You know? This takes faith. No business person can pull this off. I sat with one man who tried for 15 years. He had millions. I won't say who he is or what he owned or how, you know, but he had a lot of money, a lot of money, to just live his whole life in a very blessed way, never have to work. And he said, I'm going to plant a church of 2,000 people. In a year, it's going to be 2,000. I've got everything. I got the money. 15 years later, it's not 50 people. If you don't have the grace, you don't have the grace. This thing takes the grace of God. Are you guys with me? Go with me to Deuteronomy 6, where we were. So listen. Houses. Say with me, houses. Every word I'm reading to you, I want you to take it as a promise. Why can't you believe God? What will you lose? You will lose nothing by believing Him. Houses full of good things. I'm giving you the will of God, which you did not fill. Hewn out wells, which you did not dig. Vineyards, say with me, vineyards. And olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then, say with me, beware. Lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Meaning, once you are blessed, do not forget me, says the Lord. I've seen people get blessed and then they just don't serve God anymore. Because the love of money has taken over the love of God. Are you guys with me? Say with me, wealth transfer. What is happening here? It's a supernatural wealth transfer in the scripture. Go through to 2 Chronicles 20 verse 25. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 25. Zadon. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 25. And those online, you can just stay with us. And let us know feedback if you're enjoying the service. When Jehoshaphat, listen to this. Let me give you more wealth transfer scriptures. When Jehoshaphat, because a lot of people say, all the churches always preach supernatural wealth transfer. Well, for some of us who believe it, who work it, we receive it. Others just complain, they never receive it. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance. Say with me, an abundance. Does it say little? An abundance of valuables on the dead bodies. And I prophesied and I said that in this year where there will be a lot of death and pain, in a year that is dangerous, your abundance and valuables will be found amongst the dead. People are going to cry by this year, let me tell you. But September, say with me, but September. Found among them an abundance of valuables of the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves. More, say with me, more than they could carry. More than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. This was a battle they never fought. Spoils they never deserved. It was something, a battle that the Lord fought for them. Yet they reaped the spoils. And God took the spoils and the valuables and the abundance of the enemy and transferred it over to His people. It is a supernatural wealth transfer. If you are a believer, you can receive it and know this is my inheritance. This is, listen, services. This is what I speak about. When my wife and I we just put, you know, the moment your focus is on God, then you get blessed. And I remember our focus was on God fully. We had nothing. And I lied in that bed that I told you I had the peace of God. And our enemies began to sow into us. Our enemies. The one got awakened by a dream. Now they must give us everything in their account. We get proof of payments. It's like almost over 100,000. I'm thinking, what? What is this? This is our enemy. And then this is our enemy. And then I said, let's just wait 2 days to see if the proof of payment is not faked, to play with us. And after 2 days, the money is in. The ravens will feed you. the most selfish animal on the earth when you're in his will. Are you guys with me? Go with me to Proverbs 13, verse 22. Proverbs 13, verse 22. As I said, just these few scriptures I want you to remember, really, for the rest of your life when it comes to finances. A good man, say with me, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Now listen, say with me, the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. How does that happen? When you have an intention to leave an inheritance for your children's children, God puts into play and into mechanism for the wealth of a sinner to be stored up and to be transferred to the righteous. This faith is what has been lost in this city. And people began to lose heart because the spirit of poverty and religion, actually religion, has tried to steal money from people. Listen to me. Every time your pastor doesn't want to preach about finances, he's stealing from you. Every time he's withholding and downplaying an offering message, he's robbing you. Listen to me. I remember being in churches where I was trained up and so on, and they are so scared of taking up an offering. They just don't want to offend the people, and they just read one little, they say, no, let's just read one little verse. All your people is poor, and all of them lost their jobs, and everybody, nobody has nowhere. So what is the fruit of that? Everyone. People by us, I got a message yesterday. Everything you preach, I applied all the principles. We got blessed. We got a business that was dead for 6 years suddenly just exploded 3 days ago. Why? Because as we preach, it's in the minds of people. And those who don't have an issue in their heart with money, they grab it full on. And if you have, we can get delivered today. Are you guys with me? So let's go to Ecclesiastes. Listen to this. Ecclesiastes 2 verse 26. Say with me, a good man. Now listen to Ecclesiastes 2 verse 26. For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy. Say with me, wisdom, knowledge, and joy to a man who is good in his sight. Listen to this. I need you to listen to this. Say with me, good. A man who is good in his sight. He gives him wisdom, knowledge, and joy. The only thing you need to make it in this world, even with business, is wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Are you guys with me? When David went out on the battlefield, he didn't go there with a certification or a qualification or a business skill, or he went there with one thing in his heart, a covenant with God. With one thing upon his head, an anointing of the Holy Spirit upon his head. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that shall curse the armies of God? While the kings were shaking in fear, David, with boldness, with no qualification, not a trained soldier, with one hit, he took out the enemy by the head. You need the anointing, joy, wisdom, knowledge. Are you guys with me? Then once those things is in your life, God begins to put something at work. Now listen to this. Say with me, good. He says, I will give the man who is good in my sight wisdom, knowledge, and joy, so that the following can happen. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting. He gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. Who's the one that is good? Wisdom, knowledge, joy, that is good in the sight of God. You're not getting it. I understand you are a little bit behind. It means that God will make a sinner work so the money can be transferred towards you, because there's a greater purpose. You need to catch it. Job 27 verse 16. Job 27 verse 16. Listen to this. Job 27 verse 16. Though he heaps up silver like dust and piles up clothing like clay. Say with me, he heaps up silver like dust Do you know how much silver that is? Though he heaps up silver like dust and piles up clothing like clay, next verse, he may pile it up, but the just, you and I, will wear it. And the innocent, those who are innocent in their hearts, saved, righteous, will divide the silver amongst themselves. That he owns the silver and gold, the cattle on 1,000 hills, and you are a son and a daughter in the house. It is your right, your privilege, and your inheritance. Knowing that even if he looks after the bird of the air, how much more will he look after you? That you are the bird and the flower has more glory than what Solomon had, the richest man on this earth. How much more will God look after you? Are you guys with me? Let's go to the next one, Matthew. Let's go to Luke 6, verse 37. Luke 6, verse 37. I'm just giving you scriptures on the wealth transfer. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Next verse. Give. Say with me, give. And it will be given back to you. In what? Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. More than enough will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. What is this? It's the law of a wealth transfer. God has given it in your hands, not the hands of an unbeliever. To that when you give, it'll be given back to you. People will come and put it into your bosom. Let me change the word, into your bank account. Because their bosom in those days was a pouch that they carried here that was known as their bank account, that where their riches were in. Men will come and put it into your account like this. Once you have the ability to live a life with an open hand, when money doesn't own you but you own money, your lands are open. When you live a contentful life, it is not difficult. Now the thing is, they want me to change the word from prosperity to generosity. You cannot. Because the one means to receive and a state of being of what is yours. The other one means to give out and a state of being of your generosity, of your giving. You can't change it. It's like in the United States, they say you don't have babies, you have now babies. You know, not a he or a she, it's a it or a thee. Okay, so last week you guys were here, we went through all the laws. Go there to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. But let's get into this. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. Last week we went into the laws of those of you that were here, watched online. We went into the seven laws, another seven laws. The law to attract or repel. The law of wealth that follows wisdom. Mentality that attracts prosperity, just for those who are not here. Law 4, we went to the relationship between laziness, prosperity, and poverty. And productivity. And then law 5, we went into the quality that brings opportunity. That when Joseph was taken out of the prison, and he knew he was going to be standing in front of Pharaoh, he began to shave himself, clean up, and dressed up to take full opportunity for that moment. Some people have a business meeting or they're getting ready for a job interview and they dress like a backyard mechanic, but they're applying for a business opportunity. You are in a way sinning. Let me get straight. When a chance and an opportunity is not taken and fully seized, God sees it as sinning. Because God is the one that gives time, chance, and opportunity to all. And the lack of preparation for that causes us to lose an opportunity, missing out a purpose that we can walk in, where maybe hundreds or thousands can be saved as a result of that. And we think it's not sinning. Just because we lack an opportunity. Are you guys with me? For example, if somebody tells you, if you're a minister and somebody tells you, listen, don't you want to just come up and greet the church And this is an evangelist now that has been invited up just to come and greet the church because he was sitting in the church. And they've done that with me for many times. And then this person, let's say this evangelist comes up and he wants to greet the church. And he just takes the mic and he's like, "Hello, church. God bless you," and go sit down. This moment is over. But imagine the man takes that mic and he's just supposed to greet the church. And he starts just preaching for like 10 minutes with an anointing, greeting the church. The pastor will sit there and say, "I need to invite you. Next week, I need to invite you," and doors open. But it's grabbing a hold of an opportunity. It's one of the law of financial wealth. Opportunity, time, chance, and opportunity will be given to all. But it is how do we present ourselves? Presentation, even God presents himself in a proper way. Are you guys with me? Even the wise men who came with the three different gifts, not three different wise men, many wise men, came with $15 million for all our critics. $15 million minimum. And presented it before Jesus at the age of 2. Yet Jesus still went and took the money from the poor. Are you guys with me? Because he understood a wealth transfer and exchange in the spirit. He sat in the, all of us quote the scripture, he sat in the church, the synagogue, by the offering basket, and he saw how much money each one put in. He even saw the widow taking the last bit of money. He even prophesied, he says, "This is her last bit. She has nothing after this." And he stood up and he says, "James, John, and Peter, take the money, let's go." And he went to the next city. Because he understood. And the newspapers, Jesus stealing from the poor. How dare he taking up an offering from the poor? No, there's an exchange that is taking place. If you are spiritual, if you are natural, this will fly over your head. I understand. But if you are spiritual, you'll understand there's a concept. It is the word of God that if I give, it shall be given back to me. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, more than enough will be put into my account. It is, we do not live by the laws of this world, but the laws of the kingdom. That is why people will look at you when you're in a realm of rest. It will look like you are not working, but everything just comes to you. But you are. You are just working in an ease, in a way where the oil and the anointing is on you. It doesn't look like the curse of toiling is removed. It's become a blessing. When the blessing is removed, it becomes toiling at the sweat of your brow, at a minimum wage. Let me say again, what is a curse? When people are toiling at the sweat of their brow for minimum wage. What is another curse? Barrenness. These things is curses. If you're sitting and you say, "But I have I'm under this," you need to step out and get delivered, get under the blessing of God. One of the first steps to get delivered is get under the word. There's no luxury to miss church. I got saved in a drug den. From that moment, I think it was 2-3 weeks that I got into church. In my life, I've never ever missed church. Never. It's been 15 years. Started preaching, ministering. Started preaching right from the beginning in schools and on the streets and everywhere. But I never missed. Why? I could not afford. My life was changed. As you need food in the natural, you need word in the spirit for your spirit man to be built up. You see, by us, we preach, everybody jumps up and scream, go try to preach that by another church. They'll just sit dead and look at you because they have no word that has caused their capacity. There's been no revelation that has caused their spirit to move. They cannot grasp, understand, or even comprehend what you are saying. Yet they've been sitting in a church for 20 years. It's the difference between revelation and information. Something that is revelation is alive in you. Revelation is needed to pierce an atmosphere. It is there to deal with principalities and demons in a city. The prophetic is there and the apostolic is there to deal with things. Why do I get Apostle Neville to come out here? You need the apostolic, you need the prophetic to break through in a city. Pastors cannot do it. It is not their grace. Their grace is to love the people, to hug them, to tend to the sheep, and to wipe their tears. I can't do that. I don't counsel no one, okay? No one. Because it's not my grace. It's not my function. I'm here to preach the word. I'm a prophet. I'm here to give direction, and I put the structure, and that's it. But I'm not there to counsel from morning to night people. And we get messages, and I mean, our stuff is going viral all over. I think the one video went 500,000 views. The one just before that, 400,000 views. We get messages. If I have my phone like this, every 5 minutes, messages comes in. Our team can't keep up answering the messages. Some of them say they're going to commit suicide now. Some say they're going to take their life unless they get a word. Some say, you know, and you just ignore, because you're not God. And I say, and there's no exaggeration to the amount. That's how much we're getting in, you know. So you sit in a church that's dead for 20 years, but no, you're not. I need to go to that church. Move. If your church was closed for 2 years during COVID, get out of that church. It's a scared church. I mean, we had church in here. The only time we closed was when they said it has to fully close. Churches, there's churches that only open now. Many. Mega churches only open now. Fear. And then they wonder where the power is. The power of God is. If you can't, in a time where there's a threat, not only of sickness, but also of the police and all these things, be able to stand for the word of God and say, no, I will not compromise my faith. Why? The persecution in the New Testament came like this. They said, you will not have gatherings. Paul was taken to prison for having a gathering. But we say, no, we must obey the government. No, not in your faith. That is where you compromise and you lose the power. God is a God that will protect you. And I'm not speaking of protecting from the sickness, please, of somebody. You know, I'm speaking of, even if you go to prison, you are not violating God. You will be like Peter that says, Peter said to them, you decide, shall we obey man or shall we obey God when it comes to gatherings? People think in the New Testament they were upset with him because they used the name of Jesus. No. The name of Jesus was just Jesus. They knew about him there. I'm not saying it doesn't have power, but that's not why they were being persecuted. It is because the name of Jesus gathered crowds, threatened their political power. That where they gathered, there were too many crowds, and it brought a threat to their political power, because a story went around that Jesus was there to overthrow the rule of the Roman Empire. So everything was political. And they said, you shall not speak in that name, because we put in a law that in a compliance there will be no gatherings. And the church just laps it up and say, no, you know, we must be obedient to the government. The government will send you to hell still, and you'll still be obedient going. So do we obey the government? Yes, in every area. Do we obey the government in our faith? No. Don't. It's a universal law that is... The law of of thought, freedom of thought, freedom of choice, freedom of religion, freedom of conscience. Okay, and that is why South Africa kind of like has been staying free for quite some time, because they have it in their constitution. Now, you cannot just violate those things. So that is why we kept on gathering as much as we could. But when they close now, I mean, what do you do? Then only 20 people will come to church, because the rest are full of fear. And you're going to go to prison for that 20? No. Okay? I'll go to prison for 200 or 300. You can meet in your house. Okay? But no, I'm serious. So what happened was that churches just preach dead word. And when it comes to persecution, they cannot stand against it. We're having a conference in Centurion, and it's good numbers. Let me say it like that, just for the sake of that, during the lockdown. And I'm in front like this, and I'm worshiping, and we're in a worship moment, and I get on my knees. And as I'm on my knees, the Lord says to me, the police is outside right now. And I'm like, okay, so we have a protocol. So I let them know. And I carry on with the service. We preach, we move in the power of God. I don't see the police coming up. I thought, okay, maybe it was just a thought. Afterwards, they said to me, the police came during worship. And they came and the security just says, no, we just a church, we're just worshiping. And the police was confused. And I was like, oh, okay. And they just walked. You see, you have to enter into a realm of where you understand the power of God is on you. He will protect you if you do the right thing. Are you guys with me? Law, we went to law 6. Say with me, invest more. Spend less. So that was law 6. Law 7, the presence of money doesn't make a person rich. And the absence of money doesn't make a person poor. That was the 7th law. So let's get into it today and it'll be short. Give me 10 minutes. I just want to give you a few keys. 15 minutes. 1 Kings 17 verse 8. 1 Kings 17 verse 8. 1 Kings 17 verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Say with me, a widow. He said, I didn't provide a rich man to provide for you. I have taken a widow to provide for you. And Elijah probably thinks, this woman is going to have money when I get there now. And he came to a surprise when he got there, this woman had nothing. Now listen, I have commanded a widow. Say with me, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So God already commanded the woman to provide for him. Next verse. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and says, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now listen, I thought God commanded her. She didn't even know about Elijah. Are you guys with me? God can speak and we cannot be sensitive to hear him. And he might have commanded something and somebody else might need it, or somebody else, whatever the situation is. And because of a lack of sensitivity, we cannot hear God. This woman had no money. Anxiety will make the voice of God disappear in your life. It will bring the voice of fear in. In fact, the scripture says that it suffocates the word out of you. God's word out of you. And you hear the voice of fear. So when I'm not in a place where I'm financially sustained or financially able, I operate and I make decisions out of fear. Why does God not want you to be our finances? What God would not want somebody, what parent here does not want their children to be blessed with everything? Within measure, and not to put them in danger and all those things, but doesn't want them to have the best. How much more a Heavenly Father that is good? Are you guys with me? That is why I say it is emphatically God's will for you to prosper and to be in good health. Nobody can change my mind on that. Nothing of poverty is in the mind of God. Nothing. Whenever he made it, he said, it is good. It is good. It is good. Everything. He says, it is well. It is good. He owns the silver and the gold. Whenever he made an abundance, he told us, when they built the temple, gold had to be there, filled with gold here. It had to have this ornament, this type of material, this jewels. Everything had to be spectacular. God is a God of abundance. Even in the heavens, the streets will be gold. Made our houses will be built out of jewels, as we taught one time. Meaning we live a God that is royalty. Yet we think it's God's will for me to go through what I'm going through. No, it's not. It's your stupidity. Lack of responsibility. And for many people, laziness. Because it's easier. Are you guys with me? where were we? Listen to this. So we may go eat and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. Say with me first. I'll get to that now. He says, yeah, it's fine. You guys can die, but feed me first. Are you guys with me? But how can this prophet take people's last bit of money? Elijah did. Jesus did. Newspapers must come to. I'll answer it, I'm telling you. I'll answer with scripture. Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But make me a small cake from it first. And bring it to me. And afterwards, make for yourself and your son. What was he saying? He already prophesied there to her. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. She said she had just enough to make for her son and herself. He said, I want you to go and make one for me. Then, afterwards, you make for you and your son. Where she didn't have enough, in his words, if she was obedient, she could hear the word of the Lord in his words. Say with me the word of a prophet. Listen, listen, listen. Have your seats, have your seats. So, bring it to me afterwards and make some for you, yourself and your son. Next verse. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. Say with me, the word of Elijah. Does it say the word of the Lord? Okay. And she and he and her husband ate. So, and she and he and her household, sorry, her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Now it happened after these things. Are you guys with me? Let's get to law one. Say with me, law one. The word of the Lord. Say with me, the word of the Lord. Well, let me rather say it like this. Say, the law of the word. Say it again. Say, the law of the word. Go verse 8. Put on verse 8 that we just read right now. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said to him, go to Zarephath. Meaning, if Elijah didn't have the ability to hear the word of the Lord, he would not be in a way where somebody would be able to provide for him. But even the one that provided for him did not have the sustenance to provide for him. He became a financial deliverer to that one so that that one can look after him. God is here to make you a financial deliverer, an anointing to snap financial bondage. That you not only pray for healing and deliverance, but when your presence is around somebody, you can take them by the hand and pray for them, and their finances begins to increase. God can do a financial miracle. Are you guys with me? Listen, listen, listen. Have your seats. Have your seats. Go with you, Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. Listen to this. It says, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you. We just read the scripture. If you guys can remember, I said, into the land you'll have houses, cities, large and beautiful. Are you guys with me? But all of this has a condition to it. Let's go to verse 6, four verses before. Because we can jump up and scream and shout, but there's a condition. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. Thanks, guys. And these words which I command you today shall be, say with me, in my heart. What words? The word of God. Next verse. You shall teach them, what? Teach this Bible diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Meaning you shall eat this word every day. You shall teach it to your family. Next verse. You shall bind them, this word, as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then, say with me, then, so it shall be When the Lord your God brings you into the land, he'll give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. So what is the condition? Say with me the words. Get into it like your life depends on it this year. This word is alive and powerful. Once you open it, listen, I know you cannot do it without the Holy Ghost. So if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're going to open it and read about two verses and you're going to fall asleep and close it. Because this Bible has to have spirit to read it. If your hands are not spirit, baptized with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, you will not understand what is being said here. The natural man cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit, but the spiritual man comprehends and judges all things. You will open, a natural man will take this Bible, they'll open it like this. They'll read it one verse, two verse, three verse before they kind of like their hands are really fine closing it. Because the word is spirit. It is God inspired, breathed, God breathed every word. So I need to get baptized with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God. My eyes will open. That's why when you sit in a church that preaches revelation, you understand the word instead of just hearing the word. There's an understanding, a grasping, and a catching, meaning you have to catch it. This cannot be taught. What I'm even giving today cannot be taught. Maybe people can write it down. Unless your spirit catches a hold of it, it is not feeding your spirit. It is just head information. Are you guys with me? So say with you the word of God. Joshua 1 verse 8, I believe it says, meditate on the Lord day and night. Put yourself into the word of God day and night. And every place you shall go, your ways will be made prosperous. Are you guys with me? That you may observe to do according to all that is written. And when, for then you will make your way prosperous. Then say with me, Joshua 1 verse 8, say with me, for then you will make your way prosperous. Does it say God will make your way prosperous? I will make my way prosperous. Once I open up the word, I read it, I pray, I close it, I go do it. Some people read the word pray and they're waiting for God to prosper them. No, he says you will go and prosper. You will make yourself prosperous. I don't know. I understand. Please come tonight that we can do financial deliverance and pray for. No, he says we're going to pray for everyone tonight. And I'll be here. Let's go to law 2. Law 2. Say with me the law of obedience. I'll be finished just now. The law of obedience. Go through verse 10. So where we were, 1 Kings 17 verse 10. 1 Kings 17 verse 10. And if anybody says we're not a church of the word, they can go fly. We are giving a lot of word. So he arose and went to Zarephath. Listen to this. And when he came to the gate, so he became obedient. He said, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and says, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And she was going to get it. She became obedient. Are you guys with me? Obedience will cause the floodgates of heaven. Obedience doesn't require hours of fasting and prayer. It requires a sensitivity, hearing what God is saying and just doing it. It will give you something in one day that others can work for 1,000 days. So a cup of water. Go Matthew 10 verse 40. Matthew 10 verse 40. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives you receives me. He who receives me who sent me, him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a, say with me, prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Next verse. And whoever gives one of these, who, either a prophet or a righteous man, a cup of water, of cold water, in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. What reward? Prophet's reward. Go back to 1 Kings 17 verse 10. What did he ask her? 1 Kings 17 verse 10, quickly. So he arose and he said to her, please bring me a little water in a cup. The moment she obeyed to get him a water in a cup, a prophet's reward was released from him. Even though the widow was his provider, he was the widow's provider. By understanding a spiritual principle, that once a cup of water was brought, a refreshing was brought to him. The prophet's reward was released, and while he was giving him more instruction about the food, he already began to release the word of the Lord to her. Your oil will not run out. Your bin of flour will not dry. What is she receiving? The word of a prophet, a prophet's reward. Because she refreshed. She could have said, no, I don't want to give you a cup of water. Who are you? God commanded her. Something was in her heart. Are you guys with me? So don't think because God sends you to somewhere or to somebody and they're not prospering, that, oh, it's not God's blessing. No, no, no. You might just be the one that has to deliver them financially so that they can be the one that blesses you. Are you guys with me? Yes. Naaman. Elisha said to Naaman, go dip yourself 7 times. If you see the difference between Elisha and Elijah's miracles, Elisha always had a condition to the miracles. Elijah didn't. Because Elisha and Elijah is a type of Christ and a type of God. And then some say the type of church or not. But when Christ came, what did happen? There was a condition to the miracles. He says, pick up mud, or it takes mud, drops in his eyes. There was a condition. There was something, you know, he required faith. There was something he required from them. Are you guys with me? The law of obedience. Naaman, Elisha says to Naaman, go dip yourself 7 times in the river, and then you will be healed. If he was not obedient, he would, if he goes 6 times and think, no, but I'm royalty, why must I dip myself in this slump of a river? It was a very dirty river. And he would think, but if I'm higher than this, how this? And this guy doesn't even tell me. He sends his servant to tell me. Who does he think I am? Are you guys with me? It's like somebody's, maybe Alan can just go, just tell him to... Just go sit on the street, give his money out for one day, you know, and God will set him free. God will require the strangest thing of obedience. It will contradict what you think is required. But is obedience to his word there? Are you guys with me? Psalm 23, let's go to Psalm 23 verse 5. It's like... Listen to this. King David says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear not, for you are with me. Verse 5. You prepare, say with me, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. I need you to understand that once you are obedient, the anointing of God that comes on you, it will cause you to, your head to be anointed with oil, your cup not to be full, but to be running over. More than enough. He is a God that gives you the Bible. Go to verse 1. Psalm 23, verse 1. Listen to this. The Lord is my shepherd. Say this with me. Say, I shall not want. Say it again. Say, I shall not want. It doesn't say, I shall not need. God is here to fulfill a want, not a need. Get him out of your head to think that he's just there to supply your needs. If he's there to supply your needs, you'll be a bum on the street and just drink a little bit of water and have a little bit of something to eat. He's there to fulfill the desires of your heart. Have a little bit of something to eat. He's there to fulfill the desires of your heart, that you will have no more desire, no more want left. Why? That people can look at you and the enemy can look at you and say, but how blessed are you? I want to serve a God that blesses his people like this. I want to visit your church. If you say you got blessed with this, you're getting this job opportunity, your finances are coming in here. Because, are you guys with me? God's glory, listen, have your seats. The word glory is kavod. One of the words, kavod, which means heavy and weighty, but it is symbolic of the kings in the ancient times where they were big, huge kings. They were fat and they had this gold hanging all over them. Gold bracelets. The clothes was made out of gold and it was heavy. And when they would walk in, you could hear the gold and you could just sense a heavy substance coming in. That is what was called kavod. That when God comes in, He comes in heavy, weighty. And He decided to say that you are the glory of the Lord. Even when you look into a mirror, you will behold the glory of the Lord. And you'll be changed into, you'll behold what? The kavod of God. That if you can see what is inside of you, what He has put inside of you. Are you guys with me? Say with me, the law of firsts. Where are we now? Law number 3, the law of first. So like first fruits. Go through to verse 13. Listen to this. So 1 Kings 17 verse 13. Okay, I need to get going. 1 Kings 17 verse 3. Listen to this. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it." Say with me, first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Honor the Lord with your first fruits and the substance of your income, increase. And your barns shall be filled. Do not neglect the feasts, but come with your first fruits. Are you guys with me? Put on Nehemiah 10:35. Say with me, first. I'm speaking about laws of wealth. Nehemiah 10 verse 35. And we made ordinances to bring the first fruits of the ground and the first fruits of the fruit of all the trees year by year to the house of the Lord. Go Exodus 34 verse 22. Exodus 34, 22. The guys must get quicker behind there. And you shall observe the feast of weeks of the first fruits of wheat harvest and the feast of the ingathering at the year's end first. Say with me first. Go with me to Ezekiel 44 verse 30. Ezekiel 44 verse 30. The best of all. Say with me, the best. So the word first means first, but it also means best. The best of all first fruits of any kind and every sacrifice of any kind from all your sacrifices shall be the priests. Also, you shall give the priest the first of your ground meal to cause a blessing to the rest on your house. Say with me first. It's the law of first. What am I doing in the first of the day? What am I doing in the first of the year? Am I in the house of the Lord? Am I giving? Am I giving my first fruits? What is my tithe? My tithe is a first fruit just monthly of every increase, every income. But what is it done? It's done first on my budget. Because if you leave it lost, you will never do it. It's one of those things. Why is it first? It belongs to God. It's not something I give out of charity. He owns that part. If I don't give it, I rob Him. Are you guys with me? Jesus bring it in the New Testament saying the tithe is there. Hebrews chapter number 7. People say the tithe, there's no more tithe in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 7 speaks all about the tithe. And people are scared on preaching this, although we're not as a church when it comes to tithes and offerings. But you come to somebody in encounter and you ask them, how can I be blessed financially? They'll tell you tithe. That's it. Business secret 1, business secret 2, business secret. It comes down to tithing. The law of the first. Then God begins to put you first. Are you guys with me? Let's go to law number 4, which is 5, which I'll make 4, but let's make 5. Go verse 15, and it's 1 Kings chapter number 17, verse 15. Law number 5. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, or law number 4, wherever we are now. According to the word of Elijah. So with you, the word of Elijah. So law number four is the law of a prophet. The word of a prophet. The law of the word of a prophet. So she listened to the word of the Lord. Are you guys with me? When he said, the word of the Lord is telling you to do this. Oh, sorry, when Elijah said, when the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath. Then he went and he obeyed the word of the Lord. A part of the prosperity was done. But then there was another part that has to be fulfilled. Then came the word of a prophet, and it fixed and closed up the formula. So 2 Chronicles chapter number 20 verse 20. Go there. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 20. Listen to this. Believe. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 20. Believe. Go one verse back. Right at the bottom, the last verse. Say with me, believe in the Lord your God. And you shall be established. So you believe in the word of the Lord, you are established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. Meaning, the word of a prophet is what we call the key of prosperity in Scripture. You have the key of David, which was praise and worship. You have the key of healing. You have the key of deliverance. And we can go through Scripture like that. Then you have the key of prosperity, which was given to prophets. It took prophets to unlock it with people. Are you guys with me? You have the key of revelation, which comes with apostles. The keys of the kingdom. The keys of death, hell, and the grave. A lot of people is trying to have spiritual warfare. All you need is one key to just unlock the door. That's what revelation is. So Peter, who do men say that I am? He says this, that. Some say you are John. Some say you're Elijah. He says, no, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, he says, you have well said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, has not revelation this to you. But my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. Heaven has given you revelation that I am the Christ. And because of this, your name shall no longer be Peter, but Cephas, or your name shall no longer be Simon, but Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Of death, I will give you the keys. And on this rock you shall build the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But what was the rock? Revelation. How does keys come? Say with me, revelation. It is just sitting in a service like this and you just snap it. Even if I give you seven laws, you just get one law. And you realize, but this is it. And you do it and it works. Don't come and sit here because it's a religious duty to bring a tick off of the first two few weeks of the service. Dat kan jy maar gaan suffer. With. We don't preach a gospel that makes you poor. We preach a gospel that brings deliverance, healing, deliverance in your family, deliverance in your workplace, deliverance in your finances. Jesus didn't die only for your sins and your health. He died for financial deliverance. Are you guys with me? Okay, we're almost finished. So where are we? The word of a prophet. Say with me, the word of a prophet. Go with me to 1 Samuel 4:1. 1 Samuel 4:1. 1 Samuel 4:1. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Say with me, the word of Samuel. The word of a prophet came to all of Israel. Are you guys with me? Sometimes when somebody inquires of us or minister or be ministered to somebody, we'll tell them, do 1, 2, 3. The other day I speak to somebody, I said, do this now. If they didn't do this now, they would have lost out a massive opportunity. I said, do this now. Like this, go there. If God doesn't go there, it will be there. Do it now. On my word. It's the word of a prophet. It's a prophet's reward. Are you guys with me? Okay, we're almost finished. Law 6, we're almost finished. We're almost finished. Say with you, the law of Elisha and importation. Listen to this. Listen to this. Let me go to 2 Kings 4 verse 1. Almost done. Give me 5 minutes. We're done. 2 Kings 4 verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets, I want you to see this, cried out to Elisha, saying, it's a loaded message. Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went out from the shut door behind him and the sons, and who brought the vessels for her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And she said, there's not enough vessels. So the oil ceased. This lady, listen, say with me, Elisha. Say Elijah. Elijah went to Zarephath, became a financial deliverance to a lady there, a widow there. Elijah imparted to Elisha. Elisha encountered the exact same situation. And he realized, but wait, my spiritual father, the one who has imparted to me, caused financial deliverance to take place. I have an anointing of finances upon my life. So all I do is I speak to this person, tell her to 1, 2, 3, and she started an oil company, an oil business in her house, or a perfume, whatever it might be, she started a business in her house. Why? The moment you associate with somebody who has a key to finances, you can get the key to be given to you. It's a dimension that is opening. We are not speaking of levels, but dimensions. You can work for something for 20 years, or somebody can give you one key of wisdom that can open up and take you into 10 years ahead. It is, who do I associate with? I am the sum total. My net worth is the sum total of the net worth of those, the four friends I have. Who I hang out, who gives me advice. Are you guys with me? So change your friends. If your friend is sitting next to you and he's poor, just say, listen, we have to talk. Let's get to the last one. Let's get to the last one. Loss. Now, don't leave this church and say, they're just bringing prosperity. We're doing this for you. I'm preaching this message for you. We have attained prosperity. That's why we're preaching it. Are you guys with me? And there are levels, I understand. But I'm preaching this for you, for people, so that my biggest desire is to see the church blessed, free, delivered. And where you can, what is prosperity? Let's get into it. Prosperity is not money only. Prosperity is when you can take your shirt and give it to somebody else. Off your back. You're prospering. Poverty is when you're withholding. Are you guys with me? You can have people that are rich that are poverty. You can have people that are poor that are prospering. It's just a matter of time to catch up with them. It is a mindset and an attitude, not a bank account. So I'm saying it again. When we speak about prosperity, it's not a bank account. The word prosper comes actually from the word, I think it is, comes from the word, maybe, Uncle Michael, no, is it shalom? Oh, it speaks wholeness, peace, fullness. Is it shalom? Yeah, so, which comes from the word peace. It means wholeness, fullness, everything. That when a believer is prospering, they are full and whole in every area. And when you say to somebody shalom, you're actually saying, we say peace, but it means the fullness of God with you, the wholeness of God with you in every area. Eh? Sorry? God be with you. But it speaks of the fullness of God. So there's actually, I think if you draw it, it's like a circle like this. It's like a circle. So it's a person standing in a circle like this over them. It speaks of a wholeness of an image. Beginning and end, Alpha and the Omega, everything together. So he can open up shalom. Okay. But it's the fullness, the glory of God. You're prospering in every single area. Are you guys with me? Law 7. Say with you the law of contentment. Say it again. Say the law of contentment. Many people are not content. Go with me to 1 Timothy, and that is hindering their prosperity. Go with me to 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 in the NLT version. Let's read from here. We'll close with this one. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Listen to this. Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Say with me, great wealth. So he's saying, listen here, we're giving you financial laws of wealth, or laws, the anointing for wealth, or whatever it might be. He's saying godliness with contentment is not wealth. It's great wealth. Contentment is being at peace with yourself. Not wanting more, not wanting less. I'm not speaking of not being hungry to succeed, but you are content with what God has given you. Now listen to this. Next verse. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into various temptations and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Now, those who are against prosperity preaching like to use this verse, okay? But we need to carry on reading. Okay, so he says, I'm saying those whose goal is just to be rich and not to see God in the beginning. Money will come. But if you, for anyone who fulfills their purpose, money will follow. But let your eyes be on Jesus Christ. Because with the loving of money, even though the Bible doesn't say the love of money is when you love money is the root of, it says the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say when you love money is the root of evil. But when we pursue money and not God, there's many temptations that will come. As a minister, I've seen them. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, so the love of money, not loving money, okay, is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. I sat with people. One woman phoned me. She said, I'm going to buy you a house and a car. And she had the money to do it. I was young in ministry. I didn't believe anything at that time, really, because we were never financially blessed anyway. So I was like, okay. And then, you know, but this person was after money. Just after money. And now they've lost 21 businesses. Got nothing left. Nothing. 21 businesses. But the motive was money, not God. Then another guy, I'm sitting in a Lamborghini, he says, I'm going to buy you this Lamborghini in a year and a half. I got 400 million. It even took my phone out, I recorded a video. I said, say it again. Just because people always promise me things, so just say it again. While I'm like referring to a Lamborghini, I don't want a Lamborghini, okay? But I'm just like, he wanted to buy it. But the love was towards money. Money was getting paid out. Guess what? Probably 3/4 of that I heard is gone already. Not serving God. Alcoholic. It'll kill you. Money that is just inherited quick. And some people craving money have wanted and has been pierced with many sorrows. But it doesn't speak against prosperity. Listen carefully. Next verse. God wants stewardship. Okay? But you, Timothy, you are a man of God. So run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life. And we need to read this in context. He doesn't say run away from money. There was a fraction in the church with Timothy there. There was a lot of wealthy people, but all they were doing is just wealth, and their trust was in that. And it was a whole fraction of the church that wanted to split. And he said, Timothy, you are a man of God. Do not be with these things. That is causing divisions and fractions. Run from all these things, evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith, for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. Let me show you. Go on. And I charge you, listen to this. I charge you before God, who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus, who gave good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey his command without wavering. Then no one can find fault with you from now on until our Lord Jesus comes. Let's carry on. Listen to this. For at just the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of and the Lord of Lords. He alone can never die, and he lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him, no human eye can have ever seen him, nor ever will. All honor and power to him forever and amen. Teach those, here we get to it. So, what people do, they read the first part and say, see, they must not be rich. Yet, he says to Timothy, teach those who are rich. Okay, so there was rich people in the church. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. The stock market goes up, the stock market crash. The properties go up, properties go. Not to trust in that. Make money. Make much money. Your children will worship God one day because of that. Or they might not worship God because of a lack of it. I'm going to say it again. Your children might worship God because you left them with an inheritance. Are you guys with me? Do you know the Bible says that bring all the tithes to the storehouse and etc., etc.? That if you bring your tithes and your offering to the stores, I will open up the windows of heaven for you and I will rebuke the devourer. Every time you give, God rebukes the devil. You give, another rebuke hits the devil. It is a scripture that is put in. And then you give again, and a rebuke comes against the devil. So if you don't want to rebuke the devil, just give. God rebukes him for you. Do not to trust in the money which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need. Wait, hold on. Who gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Are you guys with me? So are you enjoying your money or not? I don't have money to enjoy. Get money. You know, but you have to understand the blessing. The blessing with hard work brings prosperity that you can enjoy and not lose. Hard work without the blessing, that money just goes. Are you guys with me? Tell them to use their money to do good. In the one translation, it says, command them to be generous all the time. He says, I want you to command the rich to be generous all the time. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. So what is the purpose of prosperity in the church? It is to advance the kingdom of God. It is to advance the gospel. It is to share the need and fulfill the need of those that is around you that you're calling brothers and sisters in Christ, that the gospel can be preached and go forward. But the devil has brought in a tactic and say, let pastors or ministers or prophets not preach on money so that the people cannot be delivered. Jesus said, the Bible says that he went and preached, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to preach the gospel to the poor. What does that phrase mean? It means to preach deliverance to the poor, to go and preach and tell them that they are blessed. And he used a word called Makarios, which was a divine word that was used only for gods like Hercules and this, to tell the poor, listen here, you're blessed more than the kings of this earth. And he preached financial deliverance. And this is what the Lord said to me, to preach it this whole month at Centurion and Krugersdorp, so that people can get out of struggle, out of sorrows. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. That the hand and the yacht of God will be upon you. Once the five loaves and the fishes got into Jesus' hands, yacht, it multiplied. Once you get into the hand of God, the yacht of God, your life will multiply. What is his hand? Being in submission, being in a church, giving your life, serving him. Are you guys with me? Give Jesus a praise offering where you're at right now. Come on, come on.